Okay, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Thinking about it's almost, the day is almost upon us as when we celebrate the first coming of the Lord Jesus, and it makes us think of his next coming. Luke chapter 2. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, as I said, Christmas is almost here, as we celebrate the first coming of Christ. And just think of the miracle of that conception and birth. If you'd hold your place here, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. The Bible says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of who? The Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what the name means, Jesus, Savior. "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So it also not only gives us the name meaning of the name of Jesus, but also the meaning of the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." This was fulfilling the prophecy there in verse 23. Let's jump back to Isaiah 7. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah 7:14. It was prophesied that that very thing would happen, that a virgin would conceive. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name," what? "Emmanuel." And we just read Emmanuel means what? God with us. Okay. But as we go back to Luke chapter 2, we see at Jesus' first coming, some hardships were brought upon God's people at the hands of the government. And it just made me think of what we are facing right now with this whole COVID-19 thing, and sometimes the very harsh restrictions that governments are placing upon their people right now. So in Luke 2, once again, in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." So it was the government pronouncing this decree. Everyone had to go to the place of their lineage, and they had to be registered. It'd be kind of like our census. And why did they take a census? Well, Directly or indirectly, it all relates to taxes. That's what it relates to. So that's no doubt why this was done as well. So it says, verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. So this taxing, this decree of the government, which made everyone go back to the place of their lineage, this was very difficult for Joseph and Mary because she was expecting and almost ready to deliver the baby Jesus. Now, today, they won't even let you get on an airplane when you're too close to delivery time. They don't want any accidents up in the sky. But this trip was much more rough than an airplane ride. But in verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So that's why he had to go back there and appear in person. I wish our politicians would have some common sense. Before you vote, you should have to appear in person with some proof of who you are. That's just common sense. Well, this king had that common sense. If I'm going to find out who really exists, they got to appear here in person to be counted. That's only common sense. And so that is what happened here. But verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I suppose the person amongst us who knows more how Mary felt than anyone else is probably Sister Stacy, with little Charlie being born on the race from New York to Michigan. I don't think they were headed here to be taxed. But they were headed here to have little baby Charlie. They did make it to Michigan, but not quite this far up here anyway. But so she's in labor all the way from New York to here. And just think about Mary just being great with child. And I talked to them a little bit recently, Stacy, about the ride here and that motorhome. And I guess it isn't necessarily the most comfortable ride. But I'm sure it was better than riding on a donkey when you're in that condition. But Sister Stacy, I'm sure when she reads this passage, has a whole new understanding of what Mary felt on the way. So, but you know what? Even despite this government decree and the resulting hardship it placed upon Joseph and Mary, God used it for good. God used it to fulfill Scripture. Notice in Romans 8. So the reward, you know, even during hard times, the reward is great if we can see God showing himself through his word, through his will. And even though we may be suffering some discomfort, there's just an excitement about it when we see the word of God aligns with it. It's exciting. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that what? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I'm sure if there were such a thing as physicians writing excuse slips, I'm sure Mary would have liked some physician, if the government would accept it, to write an excuse slip about how Mary is unable to make it to Bethlehem at this point because she is too close to delivery and it's too dangerous. But we know that it was necessary for her to be in Bethlehem because Jesus needed to be born in Bethlehem to fulfill the scriptures. So the reward was this. Yes, this was a hardship upon Joseph and Mary, but the reward was the thrill of seeing the scripture fulfilled and to be a part of it. And it makes me think about the present decrees of our government, as I said, in reaction to this COVID-19. They are making many difficult decrees for people to keep. And I think of all the people during this time who have died alone. And there have been a lot of them. A lot of them. And you never would have thought that would have ever happened in America, that people would be forced to die alone with no family. Family, by government decree, no family could be there. No one. It used to be that in a lot of situations in these hospitals, they would allow a pastor to get in, but not now. I can't get in to see Sister Leah or anyone that goes in the hospital. So you think of that. I think of all of the funerals that, you know, normally at time, friends and family, people out of respect for the person who has died would come to the funeral. There have been a lot of funerals held that a tiny handful, if anyone, was even there because of this government decrees. In hospitals, if you've ever had a loved one in the hospital, well, if you've ever been in the hospital and you don't feel well, you know how it is, even if you feel well, you know, the doctor comes in before your surgery and he says, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this, and you know, I'm going to send you home with this medicine, and you take so many drops of this and so many drops of that, or so many pills of this and so many pills of that. You know, this pill take 2 times a day, this pill take 3 times a day, this pill take 4 times a day. You know, your mind is, you know, it's like, what did he say? It's always nice to have someone there who is a little more with it. It's always better to have at least 2 people hear something. Hopefully you'll get it right. That hasn't been the case in many, many instances. There's no family member there to give permission for treatment. There's many times there's the patient there, but the patient's in and out of it. Is he or she supposed to sign the paper saying, you know, I consent to this treatment when they don't feel well, they're not thinking straight? But that's exactly what's happened in many, many instances. By government decree, many, many churches have been closed for months. Who would have ever thought that could ever happen in America? How many children have helped place their parents in assisted living facilities thinking they were doing the right thing and putting them in somewhere where maybe they would have some company and people their own age and some fellowship, and right now they're totally cut off. They haven't been able to hug their parents in months and months and months. They're not even allowed in there. At some of the facilities, when I take the DVDs there, I'm watching like at Green Acres, and mainly at Green Acres, but I think I've seen this at Hathaway. Those people are talking through the window to their loved ones. They're standing outside, and they're trying to talk, you know, through the glass to their loved ones because they can't even get inside. And many of them have died. The oldest patient we had been ministering to, Glenn, was 107 years old, and he passed away during the COVID time. And we didn't get to see him for weeks, and then he passed away. So, but despite these government decrees that have made life so hard, like with Joseph and Mary, just like with them, it was a hardship, and yet it was a thrill to know that even despite government decrees, God's will, God's word is going to be fulfilled, and that God's word is not bound. And so I rejoice in that, the same thing, even though we can't get into these nursing home and assisted living facilities, I rejoice in what God has done for us. We used to only have one assisted living facility that was every week, just one. And the other two we participated in was once every month or two. And between that time, you have a variety of churches going in there ministering to them, sometimes teaching a whole different type of, which isn't a type of salvation, it's a false gospel. And so it's just like we faced when we used to go to the sheriff's camp. You know, we go in there and preach the gospel, and the next comes in the charismatics. We go in there with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and next group comes in with rock and roll. And it's like, you know, these people, must they be confused? I would think so. Especially when you get up in years like some of these, it's easy enough to be confused. And then, but you've got somebody with different message, different music every week. And so despite government decrees that we cannot get in there, actually, we have a more open door of ministry than we ever have before. We can be in with these same people every week. These people have been able to hear a consistent gospel message, biblical gospel message every week. These people have been able to hear psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs every week. I appreciate all of you who have sung and played, and I'm normally putting four different musical pieces with each message to get in there. And so these people actually have a more consistent biblical spiritual diet than they did before this happened. And so I rejoice in that. Man's decrees, the king's decree, I was going to say the queen's decree of Michigan, but I won't go there, is these decrees have not stopped us from serving the King of Kings. The King of Kings is still on the throne, and he's still getting out his words. And actually, through it, he's opened up more ministry for us. And what can we say to that but praise God? You know, across our country, they have singled out our governor in particular because of some of the decrees she has made to make her a showcase for dictatorial, I don't know how to say that word, but decrees anyway. But look at how God has blessed us despite that. Our legislature at the very beginning, it came to her and said, hey, we don't have authority over churches. So right from the start, it was put in that decree that churches would not be punished for meeting anyway. And so while the rest of the country looks at our governor and says, whoa, that must be terrible to live in that state, you know what? We've enjoyed freedom, even under such an iron fist or an iron pen or whatever you want to say. We have enjoyed freedom serving God, even despite that. And in fact, God has actually opened up doors for us for even more ministry. It reminds me of 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. And you know what this makes me think of is that just like when Jesus came the first time, by government decree, certain things for God's people became very hard, especially with Joseph and Mary. Having, by government decree, they had to go to Bethlehem when it was not easy. But it only furthered the word of God and the will of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But what? The word of God. The word of God is what? Not bound. Haven't we seen that during this time? We've seen the word of God is not bound. Actually, God is, through all of this, decrees of man, God has made it so his word actually is in there even more. His pure word is in there more than it was before. Praise God. So, no doubt the devil has played a very active role in all these government leaders and their decrees. I mean, the real sin nature, the real controlling nature of people has really come out during this time. And no doubt the devil has had a lot to do with that. And we can see, as we look around, we think of government decrees which would have made a hardship on Joseph and Mary, but actually God used it to bring, to fulfill his word and his will that Jesus must be born in Bethlehem. And just like now, government decrees are only God's overriding him to bring forth his word even more. The devil cannot bind the word of God. The devil can try and persecute God's people, as we've seen many, many governors and judges have decreed that the church is a non-essential gathering. You know why? Because in all of those government leaders and in all of those judges' lives, the church is not essential to them. That's why they so decreed that. That's why they've allowed certain businesses to stay open and certain businesses not. They do not deem them essential. But that has only served throughout history to fan the flames of the gospel. Notice in Acts 8. Acts 8. You know, as we read the beginning of the book of Acts, we see thousands upon thousands of people responding to the gospel. Well, you know, that doesn't make the devil happy. So he's going to prod some of his children to try to stop the spread of the gospel. And of course, Saul was one of those. And in Acts 8:1, and Saul was consenting unto his, Stephen's, what? Death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Why was there a great persecution against the church there? Because just what I said, they were seeing thousands upon thousands of people saved. Satan doesn't like that going on. So there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all what? Scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Ah, Satan's thinking, yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see Christians scattered all over. We'll see what will become of them. Yeah, they were strong. They were by the thousands in Jerusalem. And now I fixed them. Sorry, didn't work, did it? It only fanned the flames. Look in verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into what?
Every house.
I mean, people are getting worried about that now. Certain people take charge. They're going to take away our guns. Saul entered into every house, and healing men and women committed them to prison. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine us living through that? Well, we might have to live through something like that. But can you imagine knocking on our door, someone with the authority to throw us in prison? Not only us men, but our wives? That's what Saul was doing. Verse 4, therefore they that were what? Scattered abroad, went everywhere cowering in fear. Is that what they did? No, they went everywhere what?
Preaching
the word. Sorry, Satan, didn't work. You are going to try to quench the gospel. You're going to try to bring persecution on these thousands gathered together. Sorry, buddy. Didn't work. All you did is scatter the embers. All you did is scatter the coals, and now there's fires burning everywhere, the fire of the gospel. And that's what we've witnessed in the nursing homes. Oh, Satan is going to get his hands in there and have decrees made where no visitors in assisted living or nursing homes. Satan, I ended those church services. Yeah, sorry, not that easy. The church services are still going on, although we're not there. By DVD, they're going on. And at Hathaway Hills, anyway, we don't have anyone reporting to us from Extended Care or Green Acres. But at Hathaway Hills, at one point, there have been, in number, it's been more than a number than when we were there. We just rejoice in all that God has done. So... As I said, these people now are hearing the consistent gospel, hearing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs all the time now. So this is what I mean by it's exciting to serve the Lord, and even in difficult times to see that the Word of God and the will of God is being fulfilled. And that's what's exciting. And so you notice in Micah chapter 5, so for Joseph and Mary, yes, it was difficult making that journey. But if we were able to talk to them back then, they would say, but it's exciting to see that the word of God is being fulfilled exactly as was prophesied in Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So, in the same way, we see government decrees trying to hinder ministry during this COVID-19 thing. But is it not the same thing that happened when Jesus came the first time? And so it's making us think there are all these things taking place, and this is but another thing to prepare the world for the Antichrist. You have all the tattoos. The world is prepared to receive a mark. And now with the COVID-19, a lot of people don't want to handle any cash. They don't want to handle filthy lucre. There's a whole new side to that term now. You know, who wants to handle the green, dirty money? Who wants to handle the dirty coins? I'd rather handle my own plastic card, you know, than that. You know, my germs on and nobody else's. You could just see everything prepping. So, hey, if I can have just a tattoo that can be scanned, how much better? Because then I don't even have to handle my plastic card. I can just scan. I don't even have to have my billfold or purse. Doesn't matter if I leave it at home. I've got my number on me wherever I am. So the world's just getting prepared. The world is getting prepared to listen to world leaders to have their liberties removed overnight, even if the removal of those liberties is against our own Constitution. That's what's happening. And they're getting used to it now. And we know, as Christians, we know that there is coming a world leader on the scene that is going to demand those very things. And now there's more and more talk about, hey, it's very possible in the future, if you want to get it on an airplane, you're going to need proof you have the vaccination for COVID-19. And then there's more things. If you want to get into a sporting event, then you're going to have to submit and get a vaccination, and have proof on you that you have it. And so the world is getting prepped like, okay, this is the situation. Your rights and your liberties are taken away for the good of the world. And you see, that's what it is. It's not just our country. It's the whole world that was affected by this. And no doubt the leaders of the whole world will gladly give in to whatever rules that someone makes. And we know that someone is coming along. So you have to remember, there were these hard government decrees when Jesus was born and at his first coming. Well, he's coming again, and all of these things are pointing to his soon return. And so this is just one more piece in the puzzle to make a world prepared to submit to a world leader. And of course, the coming we are looking for is not Jesus coming down, touching down on the earth, but in the clouds. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. So is it any wonder that we are seeing these government decrees And yeah, even despite them, it's not a time to sit and be still. It's a time to serve, because God still has the doors open for us to do so. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, where?
In the air.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we are not looking for the Lord to touch down on the Mount of Olives. That's going to be at the end of the tribulation period. We are looking to meet the Lord in the air. So, as we see many liberties being taken away from citizens and countries all over the world, we know it's just prepping the world. So, but when things like this happen, patriots, which we would consider ourselves, we get uneasy. When our liberties start being taken away from us, we get uneasy about it. But you know what? As Christians, we are patriots of the United States, but we have a much higher country that we are true patriots of. Look in Hebrews 11:13. The Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were what?
Strangers
and pilgrims on the earth. I just stopped and thought, how could you tell a pilgrim today? Probably by the way the pilgrim was dressed, wouldn't you? I mean, if you saw a pilgrim, you'd say, well, that person's dressed up like a pilgrim. As I just read that, I thought, how many of the world can see that we're pilgrims? That our dress is modest? Can the world see us? Say, there's a pilgrim. I pray that they can. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire what?
Better.
A better country. That is what?
Heavenly.
Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So as Americans, we are greatly saddened to see what's happening. The evil leaders and decrees and liberties being snatched away unlawfully. But remember, let's not be like the unsaved patriots, and there's a lot of those in our country. There's a lot of unsaved people that are patriots. And I mean, they're ready to take up arms if the need arises. But we've got to remember our patriotism, first and foremost, is for our heavenly land. And you know what? The captain of our salvation may be coming very soon. And so we want to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's look in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. So this is not a time to sit and cower in fear. This is a time to be like Miriam, Moses' mother. She didn't go out as a rebel against the king of Egypt. King of Egypt says, throw all your babies in the river, your boys. And she's thinking, I can't just do that and kill my own baby, but I can obey the king. He didn't say I couldn't put my baby in something. I'll throw him in the river, all right, but I'm going to put an ark of safety around my baby. And so it's just like, okay, the government says nobody gets into the nursing homes. Lord, what can we do? Well, if they'll open the door just wide enough for a DVD, we get the gospel in. Well, there's no law against that, so go for it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be what? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to what? Teach others also. Okay, so maybe we can't get in those nursing homes, but will someone pick up the standard in there? Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I've read about special forces when they went to get Osama bin Laden, and oh, there was another one of those guys that was gotten more recently. And I've read that they always ask for volunteers. When there is a special mission to do, they don't say, you will go. They say, who will volunteer for a very dangerous mission? And these special forces guys like, I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. And I remember reading about one of them that went after Osama bin Laden. And he said, later on, he said, I fully expected to die on that mission. I did not plan to come back alive. But they all come back alive. But so when they have a special mission, it's volunteers only. You don't want anyone faint of heart on the mission. It's got to be people with the excitement to serve. Is it any wonder then that God wants us to volunteer our lives and whatever we have with a willing heart? It's the same principle. This special hour is upon us. We are living, 2020 has been a different year of my whole life. I've never seen anything like this, what all's happened. This is a special hour in history upon every one of us. How will we respond? Will we be like the special forces guys? This is a dangerous time. Who wants to serve? You know, will we put our hand up? Will we go? Will we volunteer to serve God? Will, instead of cowering in fear of the sickness and government decrees, will we, not going forth as rebels against the government, but will we, under the captain of our salvation, say, in these conditions, Lord, what can I do to serve you? In closing, let's look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Well, this is what Isaiah, how he responded. Isaiah 6, 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? That's the captain of our salvation speaking. Then said I, this is Isaiah speaking, then said I, what? Here am I, what? Send me. Isaiah. Team 6, SEAL Team 6. Lord, you've got a mission, I'll go, I'll do it. Will we respond the same in this trying hour? Will we have the excitement to serve, the heart to serve? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that when we read about the coming of the Lord Jesus, his birth, and we see the government decrees and the hardship it placed upon Joseph and Mary, and then we transfer that now to our day and age where it seems your coming is drawing nigh, and suddenly we're faced with harsh government decrees. And yet, even despite that, we rejoice We rejoice at the open doors you've given to us. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you that your word is not bound. That man can write all kinds of decrees, but cannot stop the spread of your word. And Lord, I pray that each of us here tonight would have a heart like Isaiah, would have a heart like these special forces guys who, it doesn't matter how dangerous, I'll go. I will go. Father, help us to have such a spirit of good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, if there are any here tonight who have never been saved, help them to realize time is running out. And if the Lord Jesus should come tonight, they'd be left behind to a horrible, horrible time of tribulation on this earth, like has never been seen and experienced. Help them to realize that you are indeed the Son of God, the pure and perfect, sinless Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, that you came to this earth born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again in victory, proving that your blood paid the full payment for our sin. Help them to realize they must repent and call upon you, or they will be lost and spend eternity in hellfire. Lord, I pray you'd help us as Christians. These are trying hours. These are disappointing hours, Lord, as patriots of this earthly country. Our patriot heart is stirred at these liberties being snatched away and these upset us, Lord. But I pray that you would help us not to play the fool and fight against our government. Help us, Lord, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and not be entangled with the things of this life, but would be fully engaged in the work of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for these open doors. Lord, help us to never grow weary in your work. Help us to be excited, looking and hastening for that day when the trumpet sounds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, please, to 391. 391. Well, I would have to say that by far, there is no earthly flag that comes close to that one over there. In beauty and in meaning, there is no flag that even comes close. That flag stands apart from all others. But there's a flag much higher than that one, and that's of our Savior. Let's follow him. Invitation open as we stand, please, and sing 391.
I saw the flag to follow, a cross for which to set. I sought a valiant leader who could my love command. I sought a stirring challenge, some noble work to try, to gain a life fulfillment, my dreams to satisfy. I found them all in Jesus, the light, the truth, the way. Flag, I'll take my stand and follow him today. I sought a ringing answer for all my doubts inside. A torch of truth searching steps to climb. I saw a word of wisdom, a true authority. I sought to know life's purpose, to solve its mystery. Flag, I'll take my stand and follow.